1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome to this portion of the Phil Hendry Show. We're going to be talking about Christmas and some of the gifts that your kids, our kids, might be interested in getting. Let me get a young man. He actually attends a military academy, Bradley Military Academy in Altadena. R.C. Collins. R.C. is a 16-year-old Bradley Military Academy junior, and he is a corporal there at Bradley Military Academy, eventually wanting to move on to become a member of the United States Armed Forces, R.C.?
That is correct, Mr. Hendry. If I'm ever, you know, fortunate enough to serve for our country, I would like to be a member of the United States Army, the greatest army in the history of the world.
Tell me about Christmas and the things that you'd like for Christmas.
Yes, sir. I attend Bradley Military Academy in Altadena. I think it's tragic in many ways how misinformed many parents are about what their kids like or dislike. I'm fortunate in that my parents made a dream of mine come true. I hope to be commissioned as an officer in the United States Army. But that's me. Other kids, I think, are not that lucky. And one thing that to a person every teenager would like to own, and that would be to be able to use in an efficient and safe manner, is a gun. Whether it's a sidearm.
Did you say, excuse me, you said gun, right?
Yes, sir, I did. Whether it's a sidearm or a long gun. No parent thinks of it for Christmas, and yet every teenager in this country, I think, is thinking more and more of owning firearms.
Every teenager in this country is thinking more and more of owning firearms. Why?
Well, I think we see what's going on, and I think we also recognize that many of the adults who have heretofore been in charge are not doing a very good job keeping our country secure. I'm not criticizing our government, and I'm certainly not criticizing our commander-in-chief.
But you don't think that our country is in such a great state of security?
Well, yes, sir. I've had many possessions my parents didn't have, video games. I'm not talking about irresponsible ownership. I'm talking about a sharp-tuned young mind, a sharp-tuned young American mind with weapons in the ready. If our parents don't want us to responsibly have gun ownership, there are others who will. But right now, I think that's what we want.
Teenagers want guns. Why do you say that teenagers want guns?
Well, I think it's pretty evident, Mr. Hendry, since 9/11, that our country is in a very vulnerable position, and that there are things we can do as teenagers to...
Well, you know, when you first start saying the teenagers want, the big thing that they want for Christmas is a gun, the first place everybody goes is Columbine.
I understand that, sir, but Columbine never would have happened had there been other teenagers in that school armed. I can assure you that before Mr. Klebold and Mr. Harris were able to pull the trigger, they'd be in hell. They would be in hell.
You feel confident that had you been at Columbine, you would have stopped Klebold and Harris?
There's no doubt in my mind, sir.
How old are you?
I'm 16.
16 years old, and Klebold and Harris would be grease had you been there.
And other kids who are similarly minded. We think the time has come for our generation to pick up the pieces that the older generation, the baby boomers, our parents, our grandparents have left behind. It's obvious that they've not done a very good job, and it's time for us to defend ourselves.
Now, let me ask you something, man. You're in a private military school. You're talking to a guy here who would be is old enough to be a parent of yours. Did we do that crap of a job?
This is nothing personal against you.
No, but I'm just saying, have we done such a crap job that you guys now want for Christmas, you teenagers, right?
I'm talking about people my age, yes, sir, young adults, teenagers.
Okay, we've done such a crappy job that you guys want guns to what, to defend yourselves?
Well, I think there are two areas that I would talk about. We want to defend ourselves. We also want to be able to harden, I think, this country. America's grown soft. Militaristically, I think we are a unique entity in that we've got a good military, but our populace is not strong. I think it's time for people my age to pick up the baton, pick up the sword, and go up the hill. That's what we want to do. Your generation had its opportunity.
And now it's time for you guys to move in.
Yes, sir. It's time for us to move in. And if you want to know what we want for Christmas, we want guns. We say we want PlayStation. We say we want Grand Theft Auto. What we really want is a weapon. A weapon we can use, a weapon we can clean, a weapon that we can keep by our side, a weapon that we can feel confident will be at the ready should another Columbine, should another 9/11, or any other threat to American security happen. We, frankly, can no longer rely upon the older generation and the adults of America to protect us. We've seen what can happen when we put our trust in the older generation.
So you feel completely vulnerable?
Sir, I don't feel completely vulnerable. I love my country and I respect my parents, but I don't feel you people have any ability to protect us.
And you say you're speaking for other...
Yes, sir. I'm speaking for other kids my age.
You're speaking for other teenagers, other young adults.
Yes, sir. I will say that a weapon will keep us warm with a lot of safety in a cold, dark world.
All right, now you want guns not just for support. You have some kind of a militia mentality that's going on here, don't you? This is, so in other words, you guys just don't want a gun. You want to form a militia?
We want guns for life, for our life, for the life of our country. We're willing to protect the adults, but we're asking you not to stand in the way of the plans that we have. There's a group of children we want to make this place better for, and those are our children. A lot of the kids who don't yet consciously know they want guns for Christmas, they try to satisfy themselves with GameCube, Box, or the Grand Theft Auto. What we really want is a gun.
Any kind of gun?
Sidearms.
You want sidearms? You want? You mentioned shotguns?
The Remington 12-gauge, yes, sir.
Okay, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. This young guy is a member of you attend a military academy. So how do you know that you speak on behalf of other teenagers?
Well, I'm that segment of the teenage population that has enough courage to acquire some level of military training. Most teenagers agree with me. I think there are varying degrees of courage that they have. I think a lot of them are scared. I think they're looking for leadership. The reason why I attend a military academy is to provide that leadership.
To be one of the leaders of your generation.
That is right, sir.
So that when you are commissioned to the United States Army, you will become a leader of your generation.
We will become leaders of our generation, yeah.
And you say that you support your country.
Mr. Henry, I love my country. I honor our commander-in-chief. But I don't think there's much that your generation or the older generation has to offer us. We will protect ourselves. Our generation will not be caught with our pants down like your generation was with 9/11.
Well, you know what, man? I mean, good luck. When the time comes for the mantle to be passed to you, if you think you can prevent things like 9/11, I mean, if you think you can just go ahead and with an assured sense of self, say that you're not going to have a 9/11 in your generation, you're better than us.
I can assure you we're going to be a lot tougher. I think we need a harder heart in this country. Our generation will provide that. We will lead. You adults who have proven yourselves weak, sit down, lay down, take a nap, move to the back of the bus. The old people need to be taken care of. The children need to be taken care of. We'll do it.
Do I call you Corporal?
No, sir. You can call me RC.
All right. RC is a member of the Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. What do teenagers want for Christmas this year? According to him, they want guns. They want to be able to responsibly learn to use guns, and they want to be able to responsibly own guns, but they don't care really what their parents or their grandparents think. They want guns because they need a core of young Americans, armed, patriotic, and yes, ready to die if necessary for their country. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I got R.C. Collins. He's a junior at the Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, and he believes that what every kid really wants for Christmas is a gun. That correct, sir?
Yes, sir, it is correct. And really, I think that it's an ideal present. I mean, reaching into a stocking and finding shotgun shells is going to be a lot more satisfying, I think, for most young people today than a GameCube or Grand Theft Auto or anything like that.
And you guys aren't, you know, if every adult listening right now thinks that this is all about you guys wanting guns to go out and kill adults. And
look, Mr. Henry, there's been more violence committed by adults with firearms than has ever been committed by teenagers. We want weapons for ourselves to begin to strengthen our country against the kind of domestic violence and international violence that the adults have allowed to happen. We're tired of being afraid of stuff.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Amanda, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
I'm 18 years old. I personally do not want teenagers running around with weapons and deciding for themselves when to take the law into their own hands. You said that if you had been at Columbine, you would have shot the two boys who committed that act before they ever had a chance to.
Absolutely, yes.
Right. Well, okay, you know, great. You know, that tragedy never would have happened. I'm not saying that I'm glad they did, but for you to decide who should live and who should die before they ever even commit a crime is...
Ma'am, if I may, if you had been at Columbine and I saw Dylan Klebold try to raise up on you, I can assure you he would have dropped before he would have been able to pull that trigger. And
yes,
I'm not talking about killing him before he commits a crime. The minute he pulled that gun out of his knapsack, he'd committed a crime. There were no police there to protect us. There were no teachers there to protect us. We got to protect ourselves. And Amanda, if I may say, you're 18, I'm 16. You're part of our generation. I'd be proud to stand there and be able to protect you, the flower of our generation, from the violence of others.
You may be one who obviously has a very, you know, strong intent on protecting the country. You know, you are hoping to be in the army.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
Not every teenager has the same sense of responsibility that you do. And to say that you are going to give every teenager in America the right to decide when their country should be defended and not be defended is a very scary thought.
Amanda, I feel that I'm capable of leading our generation on some level.
Well, no, hold on, R.C. Now, you're saying that you're a leader of some kind?
Mr. Henry, what I'm saying is that our generation needs some leadership. I believe that we need some leadership both politically and militarily. We are not getting that right now from the so-called baby boomers, the so-called Generation Xers.
What would you do differently that they would do? Arm every teenager in the country?
I would certainly have comprehensive gun, a responsible gun training for every teenager in this country. Yes, ma'am, I would.
Including Amanda.
Including this young lady, yes, sir.
No, I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
Amanda, I think you would feel a lot more secure if you knew how to handle a 12-gauge shotgun, which is a very good weapon for a woman because it's got a very wide range in terms of its target area. And I guarantee...
I would feel a lot less secure knowing that every teenager around me knew how to handle a 12-gauge shotgun.
Well, I can assure you again, ma'am, that had we all had weapons at Columbine, Mr. Klebold and Mr. Harris would never have committed the heinous act.
Yeah,
that they
maybe
did.
It would have been some other crazy teenagers who had shotguns.
I mean,
shotguns.
Mr. Henry, are you assuming, in other words, that teenagers cannot learn responsible gun ownership?
No, I realize that.
No, but I am not saying that every single teenager can have responsible gun ownership like you are saying.
I believe that there are teens who are better suited for more intellectual or political pursuits. Let them do that. I say those of us who are militarily minded should be allowed the choice to defend ourselves, to weaponize our generation, and to have on some level some militia.
A teenage militia.
Yes, sir.
That's such a scary thought.
You know, Amanda, I don't know you. I've never met you. You're a young woman. You are of my generation. I would consider it a very proud moment if I were able to defend you against the acts of a Mr. Klebold, a Mr. Harris, or any adult. A Mr. Hendry, for that matter.
Well, wait a minute. I resent you attributing to me violent acts.
Sir, I don't know you. I'm sure you're a good man. But you're a member of a generation that has been extremely violent and has demonstrated itself to be violent.
My generation has demonstrated itself to be virulent. My generation was the generation that tried to stop the Vietnam War.
And, Mr. Henry, your generation was the one that fought the Vietnam War.
All right, Amanda, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. R.C. Collins, he's a junior at Bradley Military Academy, who believes that all teenagers, what they really want for Christmas is a gun. Here is Arthur on the Phil Henry Show. Arthur?
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I was just going to comment on him. You know, in the South, in Arkansas, everybody grows up with guns.
We're talking about knowing how to use them, sir.
No, we're taught very well how to use them. We got hunter safeties in every class.
Do you
in high school?
Are you taught weapons and tactics?
I'll tell you, I'm probably Phil Henry's age. I'm 41 years old.
Sir, could I ask you, are you taught weapons and tactics and the operational art?
Well,
okay,
no,
Arthur, what you're doing is you're listening to your radio. Turn it down.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Turn your radio down.
I don't believe this man is schooled in weapons and tactics. And what we're certainly would like to see is more teenagers schooled in the operational art.
Well, you're 16 years old.
Yes, sir.
You know, hell, I'm 41 years old.
Yes, sir.
And I've been hunting all my life. My kids have been hunting all their life. And they've been taught how to use a gun. And if someone breaks in on them, they know how to use a 12-gauge very well.
Well, do they
but
understand...
I don't agree with the militia at all.
Do they understand guerrilla tactics?
You know,
do they understand how to fight a guerrilla tactical war, an urban war?
No, they
Wait
don't. They know how to use a gun.
Well, sir, I would
if
respectfully...
If someone breaks in on their ass, they're going to...
Well, I appreciate that, sir, and I respectfully submit to you, sir. You're a father, and I appreciate that, but I think there's a big difference between fighting a tactical guerrilla war and squirrel hunting.
Well, he didn't say that his kids are squirrel hunting.
Well, he intimated that. And what I'm trying to say is that the teens of America, with all due respect to the baby boomers, we need to cover our asses. We need to get hardcore, and we need to rock and roll on some people.
So you're saying that the baby boomers are weak.
What'd you do to stop 9/11? Quickly, sir. What did you do
what?
To stop 9/11?
Wait. What are you saying?
Mr. Henry, please don't interrupt. Arthur?
Yes.
Arthur, what did you do to stop 9/11? Let's go.
We had no idea what was going on.
What did you do to stop it? Come on.
How does he know?
I'm asking Arthur, what did you do to stop 9/11?
Nobody knows 9/11 is going to happen.
You didn't do anything to stop 9/11.
But if they come in our
country, that's your answer. You didn't do anything to stop 9/11.
Nobody knew.
What did you do, Mr. Henry?
They know how to hunt.
Come on, quickly. What did you do to stop 9/11?
Well, I mean...
Come on, quickly. What did you do to stop 9/11?
Well, I mean, I can't...
What did you do? Come on, what? Arthur?
Nothing.
Mr. Henry? Nothing. Neither one of you guys did anything. That's what we're talking about.
What could I have done to stop 9/11? I didn't even know it was going to happen.
You were probably laying in bed when it happened. West Coast time, it would have been about 6:30 in the morning. Am I correct?
Correct.
I don't know.
Am I correct? Please, quickly.
Yeah,
am I correct?
Correct?
Quickly.
Correct.
I'm correct? All right. Arthur, what were you doing? What were you doing?
I was working.
What were you doing? What kind of job did you have?
Wait a minute. Hold on for a minute. You're a 16-year-old kid talking to 40-year-old men like I'm a...
You shut up. I'm talking to the other man. What were you doing, sir?
I was truck driving.
Truck driving what, sir? Hazardous material?
No,
I better pray to Jesus it wasn't hazardous material, given what happened in this country.
Wait a second. Who do you think you're talking...
I said for you to shut up, Mr. Henry. Arthur, what were you trucking? Quickly. Go. He doesn't know squat.
All right, okay.
Vermin?
He said lumber.
I don't understand what you're getting at. All I'm saying
is... Me and my friends were up and ready. We were buck naked with our holsters strapped on.
My kids are 16 and 19.
I don't mind crawling through the woods with a skinning knife in my teeth.
I'm not talking about no red dog crap.
I'll tell you something right now.
I'm talking about someone comes over here and goes into my parts of the woods.
I'd like to go up to that cave where Bin Laden is. I would use a skinning knife, and I would make a brand new hunting vest out of him.
All right. I think you hit the nail on the head, Arthur. It's a bunch of Red Dawn crap.
What's that?
Well, why do you need a gun? If you go take a skinning knife and skin his ass.
I could get up and skin his ass, or I might want to take him out at long range.
Well, you're talking about everybody needs guns.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're talking about
How about
knife.
A skinning knife? 1-800-449-8686. Quickly. What'd you do to stop 9/11? R.C. Collins is a junior at Bradley Military Academy. I'm Phil Henry, and he says that every teenager, what they really want for Christmas is a gun. We'll be right back on The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I'm just saying, get your kids guns or face the consequences.
What?
You're talking about consequences? Which ones?
I say face the consequences of your kid turning into a John Walker-style freak, running away and joining some band of warriors aligning themselves against America. You buy guns for your kids, I can assure you, Mr. Hendry, we'll protect this country the way you and your generation couldn't.
You know, increasingly, R.C., and I know that you're a corporal there in the military academy, your comments get more challenging. My generation couldn't.
Your generation gave us 9/11. Your generation gave us Columbine. Your generation has given us unprecedented psychotic violence. Sir, I proclaim that my generation is now ready, willing, and able to arm itself and to protect our women. And by our women, I mean other teenage girls.
Your women? Maybe they're our daughters. Maybe they're...
Yeah, well...
1-800-449-8686. Joe, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Is he saying... Or say, are you saying that you're ready to go and fight a war?
Sir, I'm ready to go wherever it takes to protect my country and to protect my people.
To protect your country and your people.
Yes,
do you
sir.
Not think this country's not protecting itself real well right now?
I believe, sir, that we have stumbled into a situation in Afghanistan that was promulgated by the baby boomers and the yuppies who have lived a soft life, who are not hardened.
A soft life.
I believe we
need to get... You've got the best president you've ever been under in the office right now taking care of business, and you want to sit here at 16 years old and think that you can do a better job?
We can do stuff...
You can't do a damn thing, son. You're 16 years old. You
sir,
can't even piss right yet.
Sir, I...
You're an idiot.
All right, Joe, you got to watch your language, okay?
Yes, sir.
If you don't mind.
Sir, I will, I'll ignore your last comment. Otherwise, no. I might get mad.
Well, get mad. You're
what
16
is that?
Years old.
What's that supposed to mean?
Are you from a rich, yuppie family that your daddy didn't kick your butt enough growing up?
Sir, my father rarely visits me. He's an attorney who
I'd
is traveling internationally.
Not. I'd imagine not. If I had a son like you, I wouldn't visit him either because you're an idiot.
I hope someday to win my father's love back.
I doubt you'll ever do it, but being the way you are.
My father will be proud of me once I go to Afghanistan and start to take a few names
Brother,
down.
Brother, when you go to Afghanistan, you'll come back in a sack.
I doubt that very much, sir.
I
believe I will be the one. I will find Mullah Omar, and I will bring him back at bayonet point.
Let me tell you, this government has got the people over there that can do the job, and you just need to sit back in your house in your recliner and watch TV because that's where you're safest, playing Nintendo, because that's what you grew up doing.
Sir, there is
Sony
nothing
PlayStation
that would...
and Nintendo.
Sir, there is nothing that would make me prouder than to be the first to train a group of eager 10-year-olds to go into the cave to bring out Osama bin Laden's head on the end of
yeah.
my bayonet.
You know what you would do? You would send a bunch of kids in there and you'd get every one of them killed.
Get them all killed.
And face their parents.
I believe, sir. I believe
that's what would happen to you and whoever you carried over there.
Sir, I believe a cadre of well-trained, sharpened 10-year-olds could skin bin Laden and make a hunting vest out of him. And I will tell you, sir...
Oh, come on. A bunch of 10-year-old kids against these Al-Qaeda guys? These guys are suicide-bound.
We got a few tricks up our sleeve.
You ain't got nothing up your sleeve.
Sir, are you aware
you
of the fact...
You can't even think right, boy. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Sir, you're aware of a young boy at the age of 10 or 11 entering puberty, correct?
You're aware of that, right?
I can tell you that transmuting that pubescent energy into fighting energy, into the kind of energy that went into the cave where Sheikh Mullah Omar lives, and turn him into a squealing pig.
You would be over there crying like a little girl.
If you
was there right now. You would be over there crying like a little girl, wishing that your daddy would come and save you.
Joe, I will understand those comments in light of the fact that you're probably embarrassed for sitting on your sweet country butt when 9/11 went down.
Do you think that's what I've been doing, son? I was in the Navy. I'd kick your ass all over God and everywhere else. If you think for one second that your 16-year-old butt could go over and do better than the guys I was in the military with, you're an idiot, boy.
You're
a straight idiot.
What were you doing at 9/11, sir, when the flower of our country was being assaulted by these terrorist bastards? You were sitting down there shooting squirrel. Well, I can assure you, sir, that that will not be the case with my generation.
I can tell you what's going to happen with your generation because I sit and watch y'all grow up. You're going to be a bunch of... Brother,
look at you. You can't even think right, sir. Your words are all tied up.
You're right. They
I
are
can
tied
assure
up
you.
Because I got to watch what I say on the radio.
I can assure you, sir, that we will protect you and all of your whatever you want to call them, relatives.
Let me tell you something.
Oh, now, wait a second.
Let me tell you something.
You're beginning to get a little condescending here, R.C.
Yeah, you
well,
are.
Why shouldn't I be condescending with your generation, raised on drugs, raised on hallucinogenics, listening to foul rock music, and disrespecting your country?
You know, everybody you know around you is on drugs. My generation wasn't raised on
your
drugs.
Your generation burned the flag.
My generation was raised
your generation
when
was the first generation to burn the American flag.
My generation was the last
anybody
generation.
Anybody burn a flag in my presence,
that
help?
Your daddy could actually kick your butt when you deserved it, and you couldn't go to nobody and say scan
I'll
or anybody
twirl,
like that.
I'll twirl Bin Laden's head off the end of my bayonet.
Oh, come on, kid. This is Al-Qaeda.
I've got balls as hard as trailer hitches. I'm not afraid.
All right.
That's because you must be stupid, boy. You're just stupid. You're
don't
not,
worry, Joe.
I can tell you're 16 years old because
what were
you
doing when
9/11?
What were you doing when 9/11 went down?
I was working while you were sleeping, son.
You were working at what? Working at pounding your pecker?
Yeah.
I was.
Wait a second. Aren't you? You're talking to your superiors here. You're talking to the older generation.
Yeah, a bunch of pecker pounders.
He doesn't know no better because if he did, he wouldn't be up here doing what he's doing right now.
You were working at doing what, sir? I demand your answer now. Now, give me your answer.
You little asshole. You little.
Oh, I'm an asshole, am I? You know what I'd like to do, Mr. Hendry? Meet you in an open field. Just knives and no shirts.
Hey,
just knives.
Meet me in an open field and you bring your knife and I won't bring nothing. And I will stick it plumb up your ass.
Sir, I will be spinning your head up.
Yeah, at the end of your bayonet. Bug yep. off, kid. 1-800-449-8686. Make a hunting vest out of him. Phil Hendry Show.
And now, Phil Hendry.
How about that, kid? What were you doing on 9/11? I was asleep. Everybody I know I was asleep except for Janice. She was asleep on her couch. Okay, 1-800-449... Well, it's a long story. 1-800-449-8686. The three big things in my life, Kennedy, Challenger, and obviously 9/11, two of them happened in the morning. One, Kennedy, I was in the sixth grade, and I'd just gotten done doing, I think, a report on the planet Venus. I mean, if you want to know how weird a day that was. I just did a report for my sixth grade class on Venus, and it was a bad report, too. One in which I'm sure I would have earned the grade F were it not for the assassination of our president. And then, Challenger, I'd just gotten done lifting weights. If you can believe, there was a time in my life when I had free weights in the living room of my apartment. You know, the usual things that a young single man would have. I had free weights over here, KY jelly over there. No, I'm kidding. And then this, of course, the morning of Tuesday, the 11th of September, and Nicholas, you know, our eldest, got up. He said he heard it on Rick D's, and he came in. And so that's where the news broke for me on the Rick D's show. 9/11. Now, I don't know if you've been following this Tora Bora situation. It's a mountainous area, and there are Al-Qaeda hold up in this area of Afghanistan. And we being the generation of impatience and fast everything, whether it be a food or the way a TV show is produced or sex, everything's got to be quick. Maybe you're not aware of the fact that, you know, our armed forces have fought battles like this before many times. Most recently, World War II. Now, you may recall that the Marines, in landing on Iwo Jima, I think they lost within the first week 4,000 Marines. Just imagine how the American people would react to a loss of life like that among our fighting men and women. 4,000 within a week? They fought their way to the interior of that island. It took them weeks, if not months, and it was bloody. Then there's another battle that probably is a lot more applicable. This is the Battle of Monte Cassino. And this was in Italy. Monte Cassino was literally a monastery on the top of a mountain. The Allies had hit the boot of Italy and were moving up the boot of Italy, engaging German troops. And at the foot of Monte Cassino gathered American, Canadian, and some other multinational forces. And at the very top were the Germans holding the high ground in a monastery. And various assaults were attempted up the mountain, and these assaults were all repelled. And then the Allies got the really bright idea of going in with air power and trying to bomb the Germans out of there. Well, it backfired. Because what happens is, when you send in air power like that and you bomb the hell, even out of a very fixed and visible target like a monastery on top of a mountain, what you're doing is you're turning it all into rubble. And that just gives them more places to hide, which is exactly what happened. They bombed the hell out of this monastery. The Germans crawled all through that rubble, set up machine gun nests, etc., and it even got tougher. And it literally took months. Months. Not weeks, not days, months for the Allies to inch their way up that mountain and finally flush the Germans out of Monte Cassino. That was months to get them out of the rubble of a monastery. How long do you think it's going to take to get them out of this complex of caves? Now, if it was me, I'd just sit there and let them rot. Let them just rot through the winter. Let them starve them out of there and then be done with it. I mean, I don't know how many bombs. I think we've bombed. You know that we've dropped about 12,000 bombs in Afghanistan since the beginning of October? 12,000 bombs. And they're dropping these bombs, these bunker busters and these daisy cutters. Man, they are. It's almost like a quarter of a nuclear weapon they're dropping. They're literally sending up these mushroom clouds. But you don't know what they're hitting. I don't even know if those guys know what they're hitting. I'm sure, though, that they've got some intelligence that there's something going on because the bombing radius is becoming more concentrated. And the Al-Qaeda, what are they doing up there other than shooting at Geraldo anyway? 1-800, you know, they don't care about the special forces. They don't care. They just see Geraldo sitting down there, and it's really bugging them. I don't know. Well, what do you want to do? I don't know, but that guy, he's bugging me. Take a shot at him. No, but the Americans, forget the Americans. I want that guy with the mustache. Osama, we must just get him. We'll talk about the rest of it later. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Scott, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, sir.
You know, I think you're on target right there when you're talking about, you know, starving them out. Because if you remember correctly, during World War II, the French put a whole bunch of money and a whole bunch of concrete into the Maginot Line.
Yeah.
And then when Adolf Hitler decided, let's blitzkrieg, he just passed them right by. He completely went over the Maginot Line, you know, with Stukas and dive bombers and mechanized
artillery, and just blew the hell out of it. Yeah, the days of, yeah, I mean, the days of putting up a wall, I mean, that was like the Great Wall of China and, you know, the wall to keep the Picts out in Scotland. That's like medieval stuff.
Right, right. I can't see where that's really going to be beneficial.
Well, a couple geniuses like you and me, sir, I'm sure we can figure this out.
Well, I was in the military for 20 years. I just retired last June.
And so, you didn't learn a thing, did you?
Not a damn thing.
I know.
You know? I was with the Fighting Seabees with the Navy, so.
There's a thing here. Monte Cassino was a battle of this is a South African website, but the South Africans were there, the Canadians were there, the British were there. They were fighting the Luftwaffe. Actually, the Luftwaffe had, it was the Air Force of Germany, but they had ground troops. And they were
right.
Up in that, this was a town with a monastery in the middle of it, and it was like for months. And, I mean, that's what we're going to be looking at here. This Al-Qaeda, this thing isn't getting over tomorrow. Somebody was running through the office yesterday going, they got him, they got bin Laden. Remember that, Janice, when you said some hysterical woman was running around? He ain't going to get bin Laden. He's going to blow his brains out of his head.
He's going to martyr himself.
He's going to kill himself, or he's going to have one of his Al-Qaeda boys drive a bayonet up his ass, or however they do it over there. Oh, you mean it was Janice that was running around yelling that they've got bin Laden? But whatever they do, whether they get him or we finally flush these rats out of this hole, it's going to take well into the spring. Well into the spring, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I can see that being that way.
I got to tell you, Scott, it's good to have you call up and agree with everything I'm saying.
Well, somewhat.
All right, pal. Thanks for calling, sir.
No problem.
Bye-bye. Good man. He just sat there very polite and listened to me run my big fat yap, and he never had an opportunity to get out what he wanted to say, but he's a good, polite former member of our military, and we appreciate him. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jake on the Phil Henry Show. Jake?
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, sir.
Yeah, I just got a couple things I want to say. I just don't really quite understand the whole thing that's going on here. You know what I mean? It's just like... you know.
Well, first of all, you got your radio turned up. That's going to drive you nuts.
Oh, okay.
So turn that down. There. Now do you get it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, this guy comes in here. I'm kind of getting off the track of what you're talking about, but I've been trying to talk to people about this before, and it's just like, I don't understand this whole thing how, you know, all these people are saying that America's such a bad country and everything, but yet all these people from all these places come over here, and we give them the same amount of love that we would get in any other, you know, to any other civilian that was born here in the United States of America.
Well, that's not true. America is traditionally hostile to immigrants. Always has been. That's just the way we are. But once you know, you got a generation under your belt, then we're a little bit cooler to you. Unless, of course, you're black, and then that took a few extra generations. Now, that's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact. America has never been particularly kind to immigrants. But I shouldn't say America. America, in terms of its governmental institutions, you know, has probably been kinder to immigrants than other Americans have. Other Americans, meaning the people, we're always suspicious of foreigners. And this isn't just something that's new. Going back to the 19th century when the Hungarians and the Czechs and the Poles were trying to homestead land in Utah and Wyoming and Texas, they had range wars. They had bloodbaths with the other farmers out there.
Like with the Irish and stuff.
Well, all right. But, so what are you telling me?
Well, the only point I'm trying to make is, like, basically it's just, like, we allow people to come into our country, and they have all the same rights as if, you know, me and you were born into this country, and they sit there
and they work hard, and they create the generation after generation of great Americans, and some of them are scumbags,
exactly.
Not all of them.
But the thing is that I don't understand is it's just like, I love America. You know what I mean? Even if I didn't live in America and I came here and I saw all the stuff that we get offered on a daily basis, I mean, how can you even take it for granted? There's so many things that we can do in this country.
Look, Americans take it for granted. What are you talking about, immigrants? People that live here, born and raised here for generations.
Yeah.
I would take the average dumbass American and ship his ass back to Ireland, wherever he came from, and take an immigrant or two. Because those people, frankly, when they take a citizenship test, know more about this country than the average American does. The average American couldn't take a citizenship test. He wouldn't pass it. He wouldn't know, you know, Article 1 from Section 2, from Amendment 3, from, you know, Monte Cassino. I give you this stuff about how we treat immigrants so great. We treat everybody just about the same, like crap. And then another generation later, we kind of get a little respect for you. That's just the way it's going to be. You don't like it? Go live someplace else. Everybody gets crapped on when they first get here. It's like a gauntlet that you run. It's like an initiation. You want to live here? You're going to have to take a little crap. You don't like the way we treat the Irish, the Mexicans, the Jews, the Polish, the Syrians? Tough. Now, the blacks, They got a legitimate argument. They got here like 6-7 generations. They still get some crap dumped on them. And the Indians and who else? That's about it. Indians and blacks. Everybody else, shut up. Oh, and women, too. But, you know, the women don't know it. They just smile right through it. Okay, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show website is the place to visit for your backstage pass to see our exclusive webcast December 21st.